You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Iran's oil rig cyber espionage campaign seems to employ Russian hoods and black energy. WannaCry recovery continues, but there may be worse to come. Still talking funny, the shadow brokers say you'll be able to subscribe to an Equation Group leak service next month. The U.S. Senate considers putting the vulnerability equities process on a legal foundation. NIST issues draft guidance on cyber executive order implementation. And political parties in Western Europe still stink at email security for all their worries about Fancy Bear. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, May 18th, 2017. We begin with news about matters other than the WannaCry ransomware pandemic. Oil Rig, a cyber espionage campaign generally believed to be run by Iran against regional rivals, especially Saudi Arabia, has resumed. This time, researchers at California-based TrapX Security see evidence that Iran is using the services of Russian cyber criminals. In particular, they're finding some use of black energy malware in the Oil Rig campaign. Black energy, of course, was most famously used against Ukrainian power distribution infrastructure back in late 2015. Victims of WannaCry ransomware continue to treat their infestations. Researchers are increasingly convinced the attack was a North Korean operation that bears the fingerprints of the Lazarus Group, but the evidence remains circumstantial, the attribution preliminary and provisional. Other, better crafted and arguably more dangerous campaigns exploiting Eternal Blue vulnerabilities are underway, and they seem to be playing a longer, more focused game. Proofpoint has described Adelkuz, a malicious cryptocurrency miner that began quietly circulating in the wild weeks before WannaCry appeared. Its masters are using infected machines to accumulate coin. This cryptocurrency mining scheme has been quietly in progress for some weeks before WannaCry came to light. Heimdall Security warns of the discovery of what they're calling Blue Doom, and this one is disturbing. It's more sophisticated in execution by far than WannaCry. As Heimdall puts it on their blog, Blue Doom is different from WannaCry because it shows a long-term intent to make use of vulnerabilities stemming from virtually all Shadow Broker's leaks containing Windows exploits. Blue Doom disguises itself as WannaCry, but it's a completely different type of worm that does not drop ransomware. In fact, Blue Doom appears to aim at quietly establishing persistence in victim networks, presumably with a view to activation later for future attack campaigns. Where the Shadow Brokers got the Eternal Blue exploits remains unknown. Unknown also are the identities of the Brokers themselves. Speculation tends to focus on either Russian intelligence services or a rogue American, a high-end hacktivist. Whoever the Shadow Brokers are, they're sticking to their outrageously bogus broken English and promising a subscription service for Equation Group 0 days, coming to a black market near you in June. As more of our time is spent on our mobile devices, the security of the apps on those devices is a growing concern. Mandeep Khera is from Arxan Technologies, a company that specializes in app protection, and he spoke with us about protecting your binaries in your mobile apps.
We find that over 90% of mobile apps out there have not been protected from the binary code protection point of view. And so hackers are coming in. I mean, they find the weakest link and they go in and they're exploiting the heck out of these applications.
And so if from a real world point of view, what are some typical ways that you see this affect people?
Yeah, so it depends on the industry, right? So, for example, in the financial services, mobile banking, mobile payments type of applications that any of the large to mid-sized banks release out to Apple or Google Play Store. And what hackers do is they get in into the binary code, which is available openly, and they would use an off-the-shelf tool like Clutch, for example. They decompile the binary code. They can reverse engineer, get to the source code, they can steal the cryptographic keys, they can steal the credentials. And the end result is there are a number of things within that they can do. For example, they can point the app to their own bank account, so it could result in, obviously financial losses for the consumer, then ultimately for the bank. Obviously, they can create a malicious app. They can put malware in it. If you look at other industries, like, for example, in gaming, the two big issues that come up on gaming side are IP protection issues, because hackers can steal, the actual game and post it on Reddit and other places, so everyone can have access to that for free. Or they can also have anti-cheat type of issues. So, for example, they can create some cheats that by hacking into the application, and then they can release it and sell it, actually, in the dark web.
So what are you recommending for how companies can address security when it comes to these mobile apps?
I think the most important thing companies need to realize is that binary code is the weakest link, and it's exposed that hackers can get into. And so they need to protect that by doing things like encryption, obfuscation, and also making sure that there are checks in there so they can see when the attack is happening. And they can take an action if an attack is happening, those types of things. But beyond that, they also need to protect their cryptographic keys, which if they're exposed, hackers can steal those, get back to the source code and steal, basically reverse engineer the whole code. And one of the biggest issues right now that we find, and at least in talking to hundreds of CSOs that I've found, there's again a misconception that, hey, I'm storing everything on the server side. I don't have as much on the mobile app endpoint side, so I'm secure. And that is absolutely not true. And I think, again, once cryptographic keys are exposed, hackers can come back and get to the source code on the server side. So it's just they need to understand it much better in terms of what the exposure is here and how to fix it.
That's Mandeep Khera from Arxan Technologies. The U.S. Senate is considering legislation that would take the vulnerability equities process out of the hands of the intelligence community and formalize it as a matter of law. The pending bill, the Patch Act, the Protecting Our Ability to Counter Hacking Act of 2017, to unpack the forced acronym for you, defines vulnerability and establishes a mechanism by which disclosures would be made. The bill places responsibility for overseeing disclosure of vulnerabilities in a Vulnerability Equities Review Board to be chaired by the Secretary of Homeland Security. The board would set disclosure policy, and the draft bill expresses an expectation that the default position would be public disclosure, with the very large and flexible exception of vulnerabilities deemed to affect national security. NIST has supplemented U.S. President Trump's cybersecurity executive order with guidance on how agencies should implement that order. Public comment on the document will be accepted until June 30th of this year. It's good that NIST has done so, since its cybersecurity framework, formerly known as the Framework for Improving Critical Infrastructure Cybersecurity, is the armature around which the president's order is constructed. Finally, for all the concerns about election hacking in the West, security company Agari studied the state of email security in German, Norwegian, and British political parties. Some scored better than others, with Britain's Liberal Democrats and Greens doing best. But in general, they're all deficient in email authentication, with poorly implemented DMARC policies, that's domain-based message authentication reporting and conformance. Perhaps someone should remind the leaders of the various parties worried about Russian influence operations that email was, at least in part, the downfall of the U.S. Democratic National Committee. My guest today for our partner segment is Dale Drew from Level 3 Communications. We're talking about ransomware, and just as a listener note, we recorded this segment a few days before WannaCry was released. It's interesting to hear Dale's predictions about how bad ransomware was going to be in 2017. That came true. Dale, we are well into 2017, and certainly one of the big threats this year, people predicted it, and it's come true, that's ransomware.
I'd say ransomware, we think ransomware is going to be the biggest threat for 2017. Not only does it use all the traditional sort of deployment mechanisms, you know, phishing attacks to be able to get an employee to click on a link, malware droppers to be able to deploy the ransomware, but it also provides sort of direct pay benefit for the bad guy. And some really depressing studies have come out that show that about 40% of people are paying ransomware. And so, you know, the motivation for them to be repeat victims is definitely up there. They said that the average ransomware payout is between $100 to $500 per victim.
And are they getting their data back when they pay?
No, see, that's the thing is that in most cases, now in some cases we've seen some ransomware operators who actually provide the key. Our typical experience is we see a victim pay an escalation, and then the bad guy just disappears and does not provide the key to be able to unlock all their files.
Mm. There's a remarkable finding about consumers and awareness of ransomware.
Yeah, so this study from TrustLook was showing that about 45% of consumers have not even heard of ransomware as of yet. And the problem with that is that's the single largest concern that we have with regards to consumer-based security issues, especially ransomware, is that the steps to be able to protect yourself, even if you are a victim, it's really easy if you were just to make a backup copy of your critical files before you become a victim. Once you become a victim, then it's, you know, all your files are already gone. And so it's just like ID theft, you know, having protective mechanisms to protect your identity up front, like locking your credit history. Those things you can take proactively to prevent yourself from becoming a victim or better protect yourself once you are a victim. It really concerns me that 45% of consumers have not even heard of it and are just waiting to be victimized up front.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to learn about the hard way.
Yeah, you know, the other concern is they said that ransomware has jumped about 23% in 2016. And so far, I mean, we're in May, it's already at another increase of 25% in 2017. So that trend in ransomware growth is going to grow fairly significantly, I think, in 2017.
And of course, grow it did, thanks to WannaCry being released not long after we recorded this segment. Dale Drew from Level 3 Communications.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's VANTA.com www.cyber.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.